following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we have kind of an update. We always ask for updates on the program here, but we had a caller just last week whom we spoke with, and you gave some very good, very pointed advice to her about her situation. And you wanted to give a little bit of an update on her story.
Well, very candidly, we always do a wrap-up. We talk about what, is there something that we can do? We always want to send helpful information. And I had said, why don't we send the helpful, the material on violence and boundaries to her daughter, to Phyllis's daughter. And then as we talked, I said, you know, I would love to get her daughter on the phone because I don't know. I assumed she didn't know that this call was taking place. But I thought if I could just tell what I have written down, I take notes. I try my best. I don't get everything. And we're going to... If the Lord has put this together, I'm delighted to say we're going to not only talk again to Phyllis, but we're going to talk to her daughter who lives in another state. What the first word said to me by Phyllis, and by the way, I'm just letting you know, that is a name we are giving our caller. That is not her real name, but this to just for protection. Her first words to me that I wrote down were, I'm in a bad situation with my son. He threatens me. He's on crack cocaine, other drugs. He goes away sometimes for 3 days. It's unpredictable. He talks down to me, screams, throws things at me. Bring stolen items to my home. During some of this, I'm asking questions, but I'm only writing down what she tells me. And there are other sons, but she has appealed to them, but she indicates they won't help her. She said, I'm so scared. She'll have food, but then he'll come in and he'll take all the food. There are just some predictable patterns. She's told by someone, well, he has every right to come. But the point is, this is my little bit of hope. She said, my daughter says, come live with me. Now, it's hard when it's your own home, no matter how little or big it is. She has a dog and I think cats, but there are situations like he owed a drug dealer money. The son who is 39, and there's a kicking in of the door. If she tries to do certain things, she prayed. These are the words I wrote down. God, please help me. I don't know what to do. She said, I love Jesus. I'm broken. I'm hurt. I feel abandoned. And they don't help me, meaning, again, the sons. But I'm thinking about this daughter. I heard a ray of hope, but she said, I feel hopeless. And I remember her saying specifically, I could just get off my heart medicine and die. And so her solution was, the only thing she could think of that would at the moment would end it all is for her to end it all by dying. There was a thought of words about an eviction. You can get an eviction order, but that it can be very complicated. It can be very... I've been told multiple things, and it depends on what state you're in, too. Now, he has threatened to burn the whole house down, meaning her in it, the dog, and the cats. She feels her life is threatened, and her life was threatened. And she said, I have no help, I have no money. Now, that's a quick synopsis of what I have written down that she told me. And I'm going to ask, would if you care, and I think as you listen, you care, would you pray that as in the next segment, we are going to talk with Phyllis and then now her daughter, Denise. I have not talked with Denise. I just asked if she would be willing to talk with me. And so I just need confirmation. Would she? I'm hearing that her daughter said, come live with me. And at first she hated to do that because her things were there at her house. But if her life is threatened, it just seemed to me that this would be what would be best.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about tonight's topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the right resources. Their number, again, is 800-488-4673. Well, here on Hope in the Night, if you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can do so at 800-NIGHT-17. Just spell it out, 800-NIGHT-17, and just call and leave a good message so we can get back and schedule you to speak with June about whatever's happening in your life and you'd like some direction on. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that's 800-NIGHT-17. Well, June, we want to welcome to back to our program tonight, listening on the BOT Radio Network in Missouri. We welcome back Phyllis.
Well, my friend, I'm glad you've come back for us to talk. Could you help me? Is there anything that I said that wasn't accurate? Or was there anything that I... Well, let's just ask that first. Was what I said correct?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for having me back. Yes, I feel that it was a confirmation from God that what my daughter had been telling me, that I should come and live with her and come and stay with her. I feel like God had told her, and I feel like you told me, and that was a confirmation from God. Mm.
Thank you, sweetheart. Well, you told me that, you know, you had some things of your mother's, and I could just imagine some things of my mom's that my mother had too, you know, and I just was relating to that, and it's hard when you're thinking about leaving, yet your life is very important. And you told me that your son steals items. Does he do it to support the drug habit?
I don't think so. I don't know. When I would come home, I could tell things were gone through. I think maybe his friends might go through stuff and take things. I'm not for sure, but I can tell. One time when I came home, I could tell they had been. I have a room downstairs, and my cats, you know, there's a place for them to lay where I, you know, I sleep down there a lot. And I could tell they had been down there and sleeping down there because somebody had. Because I have the radio on, either the music or BOT Radio, all the time. And I keep it on just to keep my house, you know, with godly talk on it. And I could tell that radio station was changed. One time the cats were... I could tell the cats had been out and was knocking stuff over like they had had a dog in there. Not my dog. At that time, I didn't have the dog. It was somebody else's dog. And he did have some friends that had some big dogs. And they looked like they had knocked things down trying to get away from these dogs and stuff. So I was concerned about that. You know, and then there was things. A couple things that I couldn't find, and I could just tell when I walked in the house, and I did tell you that they had burned holes in my couch, on the arms of my couch. There's two big holes where they were sitting, and apparently they were smoking something, I don't know, but and they burned it, and these were two, one on each side, and it was... You know, I could tell that people had been in there, you know, because I knew how I had left my house, and they had been in there. So I was very concerned.
Well, you had also said that your son terrorizes you, and he said, I hope your dog dies. I mean, that's... But, you know, we have to realize when people are on crack... When people are on certain kinds of drugs, they can say things that are, they are violent. They can be terrorizing. It's not like what would possibly be when they are totally clean, meaning not on drugs, but it can be, very highly destructive. Now, there's something I failed to mention. You have a strong affection for your grandson. In other words, the son of your son. And you basically raised him. That's what I believe you said.
Yes, I did.
And so we need to figure out, in fact, he took up for you. Like you told about this chocolate and dogs, it chocolate is poisonous to dogs, and I know that. And you were trying to get the grandson actually intervened, and it's like that's the first time that I was hearing that there was anything that impacted your son, your 39-year-old son. In other words, whatever you would say, he won't listen to, even though it's your home. Well, it's the home you're living in. Is there anything about that? That, I mean, do we not need to consider about the grandson? By the way, was he 16 years old?
Yes, he's 16. Since I have talked to you, I had told Jeff, we have a new development where my grandson had gone to the doctor. He was having headaches and he was having problems, and they found out that he has a, they confirmed it Friday. He was taken to the children's hospital and they're going to do an MRI. He has something, it is called Chiari syndrome, where it is a brain disorder where the brain, hard for me to talk about it, that sticks out over the, on the, like the spinal cord. It doesn't all fit into the skull. It's hard to describe this syndrome, but there's, and so he's going to go have, and since then, my son has been, spending a lot of time with him while, going places with him, and he's picking him up from school, and he's very broken. He's very hurt over this. He came Friday, and he was in, I found he was in the car, and he was crying, so he's not,
Are you saying your son, okay, your grandson is hurt, or your son is hurt?
Well, my grandson thinks he's going to die, but my son is so broken and hurt over this.
Okay.
Torn up. He was sitting in the car, and he was crying. Even my daughter tried to call him and talk to him, but he wouldn't talk. He wouldn't even tell me what the doctor said, but my grandson explained everything to me that the doctor had said what they're going to do. But he's kind of, I haven't seen him a lot since I talked to you on the phone. He'll be here for a little bit, and then he'll be gone, and then he'll come back, and then he'll be gone. So he's kind of staying away. I don't know what he's doing. He doesn't.
Okay, so who is caring for your grandson? By the way, is there a mother in the picture?
Yes. His mother is, he's staying with his mother, and
Okay, so there is at least some care there. Okay, all right. So thank you for clarification. Anything else you want to add before we get your daughter in?
Well, no, what I did after I had talked to you, I called my daughter right away, and I told her, I said that I was, you had confirmed, and I said, I believe she confirmed it with God, and she said, yes, she did, and I said, I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I give you my will, I give you my will, if you want me to go, I surrender my will to you on this, I will go with my daughter if that's what you want to do, but that's something I hadn't done before, because like I said about the things and different reasons, and now I feel good in my heart about going, and it's just that we haven't worked that out so where I can go yet. And everything, but that is something different, and so my I feel better. I feel better, and then I feel like I've had a lot of prayer. I can tell I've had a lot of prayer because there's peace over me, and there's also peace in my house, which is something a lot different.
Yes. Well, I told you that there would be many, many people whom you don't know, but in heaven they'll come up to you, and they'll say, I prayed for you. I cared, and I genuinely prayed for you. And there will be people who are listening right now. I believe that there will be faithful prayer partners that know you need help and know that you don't know the course. But I want to give you one scripture before we turn to Denise. In Psalm 34:18, this was a passage I held on to because I had a painful upbringing and had a lot of pain, and I needed this. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So you understand that you can even feel distant from God, but the Lord is close to you, sweetheart. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And you told me you were brokenhearted. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So you hang on to His hope for you. That's, again, Psalm 34:18, and we'll send it to you in case you don't have to be writing anything down, but we'll make sure you have that. So, Denise, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Well, sweetheart, I know this is unusual. We don't typically, in fact, we've not ever done it this way before, but I have a daughter's heart to my mom, who found herself many times in such painful situations. So I cared about you, and I thought if we could talk, we could possibly, I would want to hear from you. Was what I shared accurate from your perspective of what you know?
Yes, ma'am. First of all, thank you for having me on. My mom is a good mom. She's a great mom, actually. And my brothers are good brothers. My brother is in a situation where he is just hurt, broken. At the age, early age, we lost our dad. And my brother actually... saw a lot that had happened.
Okay, hold on just a second, Denise. We're going to have to take a break, and I hate cutting you off right now, but I'd like to know when we come back, how long has it been since your dad had died? We'll be back in just a moment.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our caller or callers in a moment. If you have questions or concerns about tonight's topics, please do get in touch with us at customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They are available to you Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd love to hear from you and help you get the right resources, whatever would help you the most, and they would be glad to guide you in that direction. We want to recommend to you the Keys for Living called We Have Abuse Recovery, and that's From Surviving to Thriving. Also, we have resources on alcohol and drug addiction, alcohol and drug abuse, breaking free and staying free, as we've heard about this situation. And customer support would be glad to help you again with that information. And if that would be something you would like to get in touch with them, it's 800-488-4673. Well, let's return to our conversation now with both callers tonight. And again, it is Phyllis and Denise.
Well, Denise, thank you for being a caring daughter. Thank you that you, even twice in the previous conversation I had with your mother, she said that you had suggested that she come live with her. And I wrote it down. Daughter says, come live with me. It's like you let her know she was wanted and that you cared enough to say, we'll work it out. Is that right?
That is right. I've been asking my mom for quite some time to come stay with me. I moved to Kentucky. I'll just say the state that I'm from.
Kentucky,
so
right.
So I moved to Kentucky, and from that time, I've asked my mom to come stay with me. It wasn't just about my brother. It was about the fact that my mother is older. She lives in a neighborhood where she can't get around. They took the bus systems away. She doesn't really have any type of transportation other than my other brother that could come and pick her up to take her to the grocery store. She has friends in that area or in that neighborhood. She does. She's able to communicate with people. But I just wanted her to be close to me, close to my children, just in a place where I felt that she was safe and that I could help her. And also, my brother is on drugs. And I felt like the environment that she was in was just not good for her. So I just wanted her to be here. I go to a wonderful church, and I have a great church family. And I just feel like if she came, she would be able to get the healing, the deliverance that she needs. And I feel like she would be able to be restored and rejuvenated, not only by just leaving that environment, but by the Word of God, because we know that the Word of God rejuvenates us and restores us and brings us back to a place of understanding who we are, our identity.
Yes, your identity in Christ, that is central. I mean, from that, that is who you are, and then beyond that, it's what do you do? But our core being must be that we literally are not just created by God, but our identity is in Christ Himself. So
yes,
you and I are talking the same language. And I know exactly what you mean. So, in fact, we'll send you some. I was concerned based on things that were being said. I wasn't confident that your mom would get, because at times we've sent things and there would be people at a home that will destroy or throw away what would be sent. So I thought maybe we send this to you instead, and we will send to both of you what it's called Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. And it's on your identity in Christ. It's a 31-day devotional, and that will help ground her more so. And just because it's 31 I am statements in terms of who you really are in Christ. And I hear that she is a true, authentic believer. And by the way, Phyllis, I love that you said, Lord, I give you my will. If you want me to be with my daughter, instead of holding on to what you know, it's instead holding on to the God, the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you know, and to let him guide you each step of the way.
Yeah.
So, from a practicality standpoint, let's talk about how far hours-wise are you away from your mom, Denise?
I'm 5.5 hours away.
Okay. And she does not have transportation, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I'm going to mention one thing. I did ask on radio, I said, is the house, I never asked this question, but I did, is the deed in your name? And she said, oh, well, not exactly. She explained that it was in her aunt's name, and then her aunt died. And yet the daughter that would be the aunt's daughter, not you, the daughter, but she agreed that the house would be deeded to her. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is if she moves, it'd be helpful to have certain things in place. Now, it may be that if her daughter, the aunt's daughter, is responsible, that she could get that deeding changed to put in your mom's name. And then if your mom wanted to sell the property, that would be... I'm just posing things to consider. What are you thinking, Denise?
Well, our family is a little complicated when it comes to things like that, so it doesn't
I understand.
Work exactly on our timing. It works on, especially when you're dealing with people that, and I'm not saying they're not believers, but they don't believe the way that you believe. And so they don't believe in that that timing and the importance of her leaving right away. So I just, I think that that's a great idea, but it's just, it's not in our hands. So it would be, right now wouldn't be, it would be appropriate to ask, but at the same time, I don't know if they would release it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think my, what I was hearing was desperation, irresponsibility that was, with words like threatening to burn the house down, being terrorized, and she said, my son terrorizes me, and she is terrified, and not wanting to live anymore, just quit taking the heart pills, So I was hearing we need to act and determine what can be done. And to me, and as we talked about this amongst our little team here, and I also have with me two people who are friends. They love our program. And they are even here now because they've been a part of the sheriff's department, and they're a part of a posse now or something. But all I know is they care about you. You don't even know them. They care about your mom, Phyllis, because she I have my friend's notes and all, and so we've been collaborating. How can we figure out long distance, how do we help you if there's something we can do? So I thought just strategizing would be helpful. But the consensus was your mom needs to be in a safe place. She doesn't need to be scared that the house is going to be burned down and all these threats that she's been having. I hear, though, there is a change of a dynamic. And then that's the Kiara malformation, which you indicated, it was being explained to me, that it's this condition where the brain tissue extends basically into the spinal canal. And when part of the skull is misshapen or possibly smaller than it's typical, it's pressing on the brain and it's forcing it downward. And even though it's not the norm, it's a condition that a number of people have. And so, but it sounded to me, because I was trying to figure out, wait a minute, we've got a son here, her grandson, but the mom can make sure that he gets to those treatments, or that can be worked out. Is that correct? What are you thinking? Is right now, if we're talking about emergency, is the son kind of taken care of, at least even where I'm talking about the grandson, is going to be attended to? And even it sounds it's like his dad, your brother, does feel a tenderness there about his own son. Is that correct?
That is correct. And my nephew, he doesn't live with my mom, nor my brother. He lives with his mom, and she takes very good care of him. And so they take him to all his doctor's appointments. But I believe that this has hit a tender spot in my brother's heart because he loves his son dearly. And my brother, you know, he really cares about his well-being and his health. So I think that, you know, his dealing with the fact that his son is dealing with all of these issues at this moment, I think that this has hit a tender spot in his heart where, and this is my belief, is that it's opening up my brother's heart to receive some things. So I believe that, you know, that is a good time from my experience and what I've been through. My testimony is that's when you're able to come in and talk about God, and you're able to come in and say, you know, this is a time for change. And so this is a time that we need to get ourselves together. So I just believe that
it can be used by God in a powerful way. If your brother would respond, many times what we would consider the earthquakes or the very unsettling times, they can be actually a gift to get our attention and to get ourselves right with the Lord. And
yes,
so
ma'am,
that's how we need to pray that your brother's son will respond.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support, and we thank you for that. If you'd like to get in touch with our program, you may do so at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Just call and leave a detailed message so we can get back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. Again, that's 800-NIGHT-17, and we certainly welcome your call. Also, if you've been on the program before and received help, you've received some direction in your life, we'd like to know the rest of that story as well, if you would get in touch with us by the same number, 800-NIGHT-17, so that we can get an update and hear the way that your story has worked out to God's glory. If you have questions about tonight's topics or any number of topics, we can help you with over 100 keys for living. Our customer support team is available to you Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help you access the resources that you need. Their number again, 800-488-4673. Let's return to our conversation now with Phyllis and Denise.
Denise, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for having a tender heart toward your mom. You know, and you've heard your mom say that she said a prayer, Lord, I give you my will if you want me to go. And she said she has peace about being with you. And so thank you for caring in a very concrete way. Is there anything else that we need to address or anything you want me to know?
I just want to let you know that that I want my mom here. I live, like I said before, I live 5.5 hours away. I have 5 children. I live in a nice area in Kentucky, but transportation-wise, my car doesn't go. It's just in town, a car, vehicle. So we have to rent cars to go to see my mom and to go out there to pick her up. So financially, I can't work right now because I have a 5-year-old son that has delays. And so he goes in and out of therapy and he goes to school. Then I have 2 older daughters that are in college and a son that's a senior, and then I have another daughter that's in middle school. So my hands are extremely full. I'm definitely going to get my mom. I think we've made plans in December, maybe the beginning of January, but hopefully December to go out there and pick her up and to bring her here. But we are still, she still wants to bring some valuables, which I think that's a great idea because those things are, you know, those things mean something to her. I mean, they might not be worth a lot financially, but they mean something emotionally, and just to have those things would be great. So I really love my mom, and I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ, and I just want to just say that she will she'll do great living down here. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, that is wonderful. She did mention the sentimental items that were valuable to her, and I was trying to figure out, wow, how do we do this? Yet I agree. So what I'm hearing is, because that's where I was going to go next, is how do we get her to, and I say we, how does God get her to Kentucky to be with you? Because I knew, and you've told me that you did not have reliable transportation to do this.
Right.
So how are you going to do that?
So, I mean, we planned on, so my mom and I, so I get, my husband passed away in 2020. So I received
income. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We're still recovering, but God is so gracious. I receive money at the beginning of the month for survivor's benefits, and then my mom, she receives some money as well at the beginning of the month. So what we do is we kind of put our money together after rent is being paid and bills are taken care of, and then we go from there with renting a vehicle and then going down and picking her up. I mean, that's the best that we can do. I mean, because we are not, I'm not financially at that place where I can just take money from my children and just
I'm hearing you have a child that where there needs to be regular care, special care, and two college age and one senior and in high school and one middle school. I mean, that's huge. And there's just one of you. And I'm so sorry about your husband's death. So yeah, those of you who are praying, who are going to put Phyllis and Denise on your prayer list, you're hearing especially ways to be praying for Denise. That's what we are. We're the body of Christ. We are to bear one another's burdens and to lift you up in prayer specifically, and ask the Lord to be your provider. He is going to be, as you said, your mom needs healing. He is, the Lord is our Redeemer.
Yes.
He has a wonderful opportunity. In fact, I'm just thinking how meaningful your mom can be in some of the care of your children too. And the input that they, you know, she could have in their lives.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So is there anything else that needs to be discussed? Because I was concerned about the transportation part.
No, ma'am, there's nothing else that needs to be discussed. I mean, I just feel like that, you know, once we figure out the transportation part and are able to get the monetary funds together to be able to go get her, and I believe once the transition happens, I believe that everything is going to work out. I believe even, you know, my brother is going to give his life to Christ. I believe that my other brothers are going to be able to begin to know who Christ is. And so those are my prayers, and if all the listeners are listening, just pray for our family that, you know, that they come into unity and to the love of Jesus Christ, because that's what we have to have is love in our hearts, and, you know, and to pray for us. And that's all I'm asking. I mean, I believe God is going to do a new thing, and we shall perceive it. And so I believe it.
You know, there's a precious passage which basically you were quoting, and it says, do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. He said, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do not dwell on the past. I'm making streams in the desert.
Yes.
You know, streams in the desert. By the way, did you ever read that as a devotional book called Streams in the Desert?
No, ma'am. I've never read that book.
Well, let me just tell you, my mom would say that, and there were many, many dark years for my mom, that was the book that helped her the most. It's called Streams in the Desert. And many people know the devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. Those are two hugely important devotional books that over the years I have given, but my point is I think for you, I'm hearing that your faith is not in the immediate. It is what you know the Lord not only can do but will do, because you belong to Him. And your mom belongs to Him.
That's
and
right.
He takes care of His children.
Yes, ma'am.
What I'll do also, I've thought of several other things I just want to send to your address, and that way I know for sure they make it to you. Or you tell me also, do you feel good if that things would not be taken away if we sent some things to your mom?
I feel good. I don't, okay. You know, my brother is on drugs, but I don't believe that he will, like, take those things, just throw it in the trash. I believe
okay.
that when he gets angry, he says things. You know, of course, when you're on drugs, you say things that you don't mean. And you do yeah. things sometimes that you don't mean. So I just believe
okay.
that she's safe in that area as far as her mail coming in. I've never heard of him
okay.
taking her mail and throwing
okay.
that away.
All right. Well, we're going to send some things to you. I'm going to send you something on trials that you will like. I know you'll like it. And I'm also going to send you something on chronic illness and disabilities that just puts problems in perspective and just some things that you can use later and as you think about the trials and the juggling. I would say you're doing quite a bit of juggling right now.
And yeah.
In fact, I listen to you and I normally, there's a saying, well, I'm worn out listening to you. I'm not worn out. I'm just saying, oh God, just keep equipping her, because she is willing. She is yours. And, you know, at times He has us, if you will, running the race, and it is he's going to be your sufficiency, and I'm so proud of you for being so yielded to Him. I just hear that, and what a joy that your mom can have, knowing your stability and your strength. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He, in other words, that's what you are saying.
Yes.
That I, Denise, I can do whatever God wants me to do in
yes.
His strength. It's His strength.
Yes.
So Phyllis, you hear us talking about you, don't you? So, how are you feeling right now about what Denise and I have been talking about?
Why, I agree with everything that she's saying, because I know when I come down there, I feel peace. When I come down, I enjoy myself so much being with her. I've been down several times with her. You know, we spent 4th of July last year together,
mm-hmm.
just previously, this last 4th of July. And I also was there with her, you know, to support her when, you know, her husband had passed away. And
wow.
which was it was just a very heartbreaking time. So,
My friend.
She's very positive. She loves God. She's, you know, I mean, and she tells me, Mom, you're going to make friends. I'm looking forward to making friends. And
great.
Something that she did just yesterday or the day before, she went and her and some ladies from her church went to a nursing home, and they fixed food and they fed the people in the nursing home. And I used to do that when I was missions at church. When I was a girl, I used to go to missions
yes.
every Wednesday. And we used to send things. We used to go to nursing homes. And I would really love to do that. That's
okay, well, I know that,
that
you're right.
I would enjoy doing.
That is a joy, because the Bible says it is more blessed to give than receive. And I know that you would be a blessing. So let that be just the prayer of your heart. Lord, I'm willing to be yours, and I will do what you call me to do, and I give my will to you. That was the most important thing you shared.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We have the Keys for Living called Trials, God's Refining Fire. Also, Chronic Illness and Disabilities, God's Peace in the Midst of Pain. We'll send that out, those out. Due to your generous support of this ministry, we send them out free. And we thank you for your support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/donate. And we thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central. And our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org, also wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.